Hi, this is David Flowers, Senior Pastor at Grantham Church, an intergenerational, convergent, third-way congregation with the Brethren in Christ U.S. and located in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast and for following the sermons that I and many others preach at Grantham. This is a free podcast and it'll always be that way, but if you'd like to give and help further the work we're doing for the kingdom, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to do that, you can do that by going to granthamchurch.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Whether you're a member of our church or you're listening as a parishioner, it's our greatest desire that you would encounter Jesus and be changed by the good news wherever you are. Anyway, God bless you, and I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Julia is a co-founder with Dwayne, her husband, and executive director of 180 Ministries, where she's tirelessly working to spread the transformative power of love and faith. Her journey as a family certified recovery specialist, Stevens minister, and trauma-informed coach reflects her deep understanding of the complexities of human suffering and the path to healing. As many as you know, Julia's passion for her work stems from her own redemption story, which I think we'll hear a little bit about that today, a narrative of overcoming adversity and finding purpose in the midst of struggle. This morning, she will graciously share her journey, inspiring us to embrace hope, seek healing, and discover the profound love of Jesus. Would you welcome Julia Johnson to the stage? Julia, can I pray for you?
Please.
All right. Apparently you need it, so. Let's pray for Julia. Father, we thank you so much for Julia Johnson and her husband, Dwayne, their whole family. Father, what you have done through her up to this point, what you're going to do here this morning, and what you will continue to do through her life and ministry. We pray your blessings, your anointing of the Holy Spirit upon her now. She delivers your words. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor David.
Do this often, maybe not here, but we do travel to different churches, and we share about the ministry, and we share our story. But there's something super, super special about doing it here. Right? This is where Dwayne and I really met Christ about 15 years ago. And so many of you in the congregation, as I look across the congregation, have been a part of our own personal journey. Many of you have prayed for us and with us. There are many that have journeyed along with 180 from the beginning, and people that are starting to get excited about what we're doing and coming alongside us too. And so it's really, really special for me to be up here this morning. So thank you for the opportunity to do that. I will tell you too, I'm a little nervous because I did things a little bit differently than I normally do. I actually made slides. Like, that's not, you know, I normally get up here, have a really simple outline and just kind of go with it. But I made some slides, and then Pastor David offered the clicker, and I was like, no, that's too much. Like, we're not doing the whole clicker thing, because that's just too much for me to. The title this morning is Moved by Compassion, Loving and Living Like Jesus. I want to tell you something that is really, really important to my heart. We come in here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and we hear amazing messages and truth from Pastor David, right? But when you take what he shares and apply it, there's a whole new level of experience in experiencing Jesus. When I can sit in the sanctuary and I can be encouraged and I'm taught and I'm giving the tools to do the things that God is calling me to do, and then I can step into spaces like 180, and it doesn't even need to be in your workplace, it could be in the grocery store, where sometimes I'll hear Pastor David a little, you know, in my head, and I'll be like, okay, this is an opportunity that I can share that. And so I want to encourage you today. I hope that that's what this is the next piece of what happens here on a Sunday morning. And this is important, but there is a next thing that brings all of this to life, where you get to experience Jesus this way in your own personal life. And there is nothing like that, right? To see Jesus working, transforming your own life and the transformation that he does in the lives of others as well. So I wanted to start with Matthew. We're going to start in Matthew 14, 13 through 21. I might need to borrow Dwayne's glasses. If you were in his Sunday school learning community this morning, you know all about his glasses. All right, it says, let's see here, 14 verses 13 through 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," Jesus said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. Now, obviously, there was a miracle that happened there, right? You don't feed that many people with 5 loaves of bread or 2 fishes or whatever it was, right? But you know what really sticks out to me about this? If you understand what happens just before this, Jesus learns of the death of John the Baptist. So imagine his own grieving, his own pain. He could have very easily said to the disciples, "Yes, don't let anybody come to me. I need a moment." Now, I'm not saying there isn't a place for self-care, right? But I also believe that sometimes that self-care can become self-centeredness. Jesus displayed a sacrificial love in this moment. His own pain, his own hurt, his own loss did not keep him from seeing the need of those around him. And when he saw it, he didn't say, it'll wait till tomorrow. Jesus moved into action, right? He moved into a place where he could fill a physical need, but also an emotional need, a spiritual need. So there were times in my life, I remember, I grew up in a church, and a very legalistic church. I walked away for 20-some years from the church because I thought I was never going to measure up. I got tired of trying to click off all the boxes and all the things that you're supposed to do to make it to heaven. And I walked away for a really long time, and things got really, really bad. I met Dwayne during that time. He was struggling with an addiction. He had an addiction to meth and cocaine, and it rocked our world for a lot of years. I remember being so desperate one day. Our lives were a complete mess. And I remember bawling up into the fetal position in the middle of my living room, and I cried out the name of Jesus. And I said, "Jesus, Jesus, if there is anything that I've heard about you that is true, I need you to come." And I laid on that floor and I cried out in desperation. And in that moment and in that space, Jesus came because he had compassion on me. The love and compassion of Jesus in that moment transformed my life. It was the beginning of a transformation in the life of my husband and our children, our grandchildren. From that moment of compassion that I received from Jesus. Now, I woke up the next morning, I crawled into the bed, and I woke up the next morning, and I'm going to tell you, nothing around me changed. All the circumstances were still the same. Our gas was still off. Dwayne was still addicted. I was still struggling. I still needed hurting. I was still toxic. But for the first time in my life, I felt the hope and love of Jesus Christ fill my heart. And that's where the transformation began. I began praying, and for the next year, I prayed for a church. And if you know the story, I actually got lost because I'm not the best with directions and ended up out front of Grantham Church. I walked in, and I remember, true story, I walked in, and I said, Jesus, because I come from a place of church hurt. That's why I walked away. I walked through those doors. Mr. Homer was standing at the back door. God bless him. He's part of the reason I kept coming back. And I walked through the door, and I said, Jesus, I want you, but I don't want any of your people. Because I knew in my heart I was so broken that I was incapable of receiving love and giving love in that time. And I thank God every day for each of you. I thank God that he didn't answer that prayer. That he has given us a community of people who hold us accountable, who show us compassion, who love us unconditionally. And that is you, Grantham Church. If you know our story, it wasn't always rainbows and unicorns. There were some struggles here. When I found out this was an Anabaptist church, I was like, wait, what? Anti-Baptist? What does that even mean? Then I found out what it meant, and I'm a former Marine. I looked at God, I said, what are you doing? Are you sure this is where you, are you sure? He was spot on. He was spot on. Throughout Jesus' ministry, we see him move with compassion. He never stayed still. Let's look at the three stories that show us the heart of Jesus and challenge us to live the same way. We did just talk about the bread and the fish. And so we are going to go ahead and move on to Mark 1, 40 through 42. This would be Mark 1. Verses 40 through 42. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Again, another beautiful example of where Jesus felt and then acted. It's really easy to feel, but you know how uncomfortable sometimes the movement part is? I had someone say to me one time, you know, this is easy for you. That's why you do it. Friends, this isn't easy for me. There are days I wake up and I don't want to go in and do the things that God's calling me to. I get news that someone relapsed or was, you know, reincarcerated, and it breaks my heart. And I'm like, God, is any of what we're even doing, does it even matter? And he reminds me that the results are none of my business. As Christians, we are called to step in, show up, and love. And when you let the Holy Spirit do his job, it frees you to simply show up and love. When we love like Jesus, it is going to cost you something. When you think about Jesus and the way that he loved you, the suffering and the pain that he endured for you, for me, what would make us think that being a follower of Jesus was going to be easy? We are called to love and live as Jesus did. And so on those days where I just don't feel like I have it. I'm tired, maybe not physically, but spiritually, emotionally. I remember what Jesus did for me. You know what sticks out in my mind as I'm standing up here this morning? The compassion that Jesus had on those that were crucifying him in that moment. Jesus cries out, "Father, forgive them." He felt compassion for the same people who were crucifying him while they did it. Now, I'm going to tell you, as much as I love people, in my own self, I could never do that. And thank God we don't have to do this on our own. We have the power of the Holy Spirit who compels us, who gives us everything we need to step into those spaces that are hard in those moments. And one of the things that keeps us going when we see and hear things that are heartbreaking is the transformation stories. At the end of our message today, I'm going to give an update about a young lady that lived in our house for 2 years. She was separated from her son for 9 years, reunited while they were at 180 Ministries. And I'd love to tell you that was simple. It was not. Incarceration and drugs kept her from her son for that 9 years. And for the first 2 days, it was a beautiful reunion. And then the pain set in for both of them, the shame, the hurt. And that's where the compassion of the people around her. There are people sitting in this congregation right now. Miss Colleen Johnson used to sit with her son Mason and do devotions. Other volunteers would show up. We'd go out in the middle of the night when they were fighting, and we'd go to 180, and we'd sit on the floor with her and Mason, and we'd cry with them together. We have Casey Johnson, who took Mason in for like a week and a half while Kara was working out some legal stuff. It takes a team of people. It takes the body of Christ to do things like that. And I'll update you on Mason and Kara at the end of the message. Jesus sees a need, and he chooses healing. He chooses presence over hiding and ignoring. In the story with the man with the leprosy, Jesus touches the man before he heals them. I think about that often in the spaces at 180 Ministry, where you have to be present with people. And sometimes it takes a whole lot of time before that healing even begins. Because the first thing they have to do is trust you, right? Especially if they've had church hurt. "Oh, I know all about you church people." You know how many times I've heard that? How many times? "I don't want you to know my darkest, deepest secrets, because you say that I should come as I am, but you don't mean that. I've heard it." And so sometimes you just have to be present. Allow the Holy Spirit to do his job and you do yours, which is show up, be available, be intentional. How often do we look away? We may feel something, but we're in a hurry, so we don't slow down. We may feel something, but ooh, that's a little messy, so we don't get involved. Ooh, I don't know what someone's going to think if they see me with this person. I thank God every day for the people who showed me compassion when we showed up here. We didn't feel like we fit. We were a little different. There were times I think I only had one shoe on, making it out the door in here, and it seemed like everybody else had it together. I can guarantee you, the person sitting beside you has stuff. Take the time. Have it start here. Learn how to love one another. Love one another. Listen, be present with one another. Dwayne said something this morning in his Sunday school class that I loved. Don't find the person that's just going to agree with you or it's just like you. Go find somebody you don't think you have anything in what's the word I'm looking for? Yes. you know, that's different than you. Have a conversation. Compassion caused Jesus to break religious and social rules. One of the things about my childhood, my mother was incarcerated, in and out of incarceration most of my life. And you know what was really sad about that? As a child, I still loved my mother. She was still my mom. And I would go to youth group, and I would go to churches, and I'd say, oh, let me tell you about the time my mom baked me cookies, or about the time that my mom did this, or the time my mom did this. And you know what I was met with? What, did you see why she's in jail again? Your mom's where she deserves to be. So as a 15-year-old girl, I didn't have a safe space, even within the body of Christ, to share my love for my mother because she had made mistakes that were publicized for everybody to see. That was crippling for me. The love and the compassion that God had gifted me with now became something that I felt I was ashamed of. It was something that I felt somehow was wrong. And there was no outlet for me to truly and freely express my love for my mom in spite of her sin and her decisions. And then came prison ministry here at Grantham. And I was so excited when I learned that there was a prison ministry here at the time, because now I could love anybody I wanted to. And no one was going to tell me that it was wrong. And so 180 started, if you know the story of 180, we started with letter writing to women in prison. And guess what? They get out. I was like, wait. They get out and they come back to Harrisburg and they get off of their buses and they get off of their, you know, their transportation, and they're being dropped off at different times of the hour. And if they're picked up, if they're arrested, if they're incarcerated in the middle of the summer, and they get out in December, guess what they're wearing, what they went in the summer. So they're being dropped off in buses, you know, in the middle of the night, shorts, tank tops, whatever. And God said, what are you going to do about it? We had one income, a car that was barely running. Like, this thing made so much noise, there's no way I could ever sneak up on Dwayne. Right? I mean, this thing, you let him know I was coming. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do, but the answer is yes, show me. And we started a ministry out of the back of our car in trash bags. I would go on Facebook and I would say, hey guys, I have this woman getting out of prison. She's coming to a transition house. I need clothing, I need hygiene products, I need a pillow. And many of you would come on my Facebook and you'd say, I have this and I have this and I have this. And we had, like I said, we were on one income. So I would map out the cheapest, quickest way to pick all the donations up. And then the next day I would map out the most efficient way to drop it all off. And that continued. It continued with baby pools that we shared with the homeless community. It continued with a church van that we would pick people up from church and bring them here. That developed into a fellowship meal that is still going today. To a building open to the community where we have transitional living for 8 women. When you give God your yes, I don't care what it is that you have or don't have. When you surrender it to him for his will and his purpose, he'll make things happen. Dwayne and I never would have believed that we would have the space that we have. We couldn't even manage our own home. Now we're managing 8. Only God can do that. When we walked into the 180 Ministry building, which is located on Market Street in Mechanicsburg, we walked into that building with $200 in our checking account. Rent was due in 3 weeks on the ministry space. We were paying $700, and I said, God, how, and he did. We're on our 4th year. We went from 2 living spaces to 8. We're in the process of trying to purchase the building. We have seen women's lives transformed in that space. It's not easy, guys. It's heartbreaking. It's exhausting. But there is nothing like it. There is nothing like watching a mother and her son be reunited and building a life on Christ. And that same mother and her mother reuniting. There is nothing like watching someone like Star come into the building and celebrate 9 months of sobriety with her. Or Kelsey, or Destiny. These women's stories are stories of they're overcomers. And sometimes it's just heartbreaking to hear the story. We have a giveaway every Friday, or the first and third Friday of the month, where you can come in and we open it up to the community and we give a hot meal and necessities, hygiene products, cleaning products, things like that. But the most valuable thing that we give away is the love of Jesus. We have a table in the middle of the space where we open up for dining. And you know what we found out real quick in the ministry? We have a community full of lonely people. I want you to take a moment and close your eyes. I want you to picture a street that you're really familiar with, you're comfortable, it's your surrounding. And about a block away, you see someone that you don't recognize. You start to walk towards them. And I want you to be honest about what you're feeling. Are you curious? Why are they in your space? Why are they on your block? And as you get closer, you begin to realize that maybe their hygiene isn't the same as yours. What are you feeling? And as you get closer, maybe you smell the stench of alcohol. You notice their clothes are worn and tattered. And curiosity has you continue to move closer and closer to them until they lift up their eyes and they look you in the eye. What do? Some of you may feel uncomfortable and look away. Be honest with, what do? I'm going to leave that with you. You can open your eyes. How often do we just look away because we're uncomfortable? We might feel something, but we look away. Can I tell you what a simple hello and a smile from someone like you means to someone like me in that space? I stand up here today, you know, this way. I was homeless at one point, sleeping on people's couches because I didn't have anywhere to go. I'd lost my children. In those spaces, how do we react to people one-on-one? It doesn't take a lot, guys. A smile, a hello. How are you? That is sharing the love of Jesus. We say it all the time. People will ask us, how do you share Jesus with non-believers? It's not by what we say. It's by what we do. The unseen, those who society, the leper, right? The one that's dealing with the leprosy, they were shunned. Imagine what he felt when Jesus reached his hand out, touched him. Can you imagine? Feeling that type of compassion from Jesus? I can, because I felt it that day that I was desperate on the floor. You can be that to someone. You can be that moment that someone else can feel the love and compassion of Jesus Christ through you. And it's going to call you to sacrifice. You're going to have to be uncomfortable. But there is nothing There is nothing like it, receiving it or giving it. I love when people talk about Jesus being a friend of sinners. We had a conversation at the building this week about, you know, we struggle with different things, you know, what is okay, what's not okay, and we were trying to figure out some guidelines on some things. Someone said, well, what's going to look like to everyone else? Let me tell you something. If I worried about what everyone else thought from the outside looking into what God was doing in our lives, I wouldn't be here today. We heard so much negative stuff stepping into this place of ministry. Yes, we need rules. Yes, you need boundaries. But Jesus didn't sit and say, come to me. Did he welcome? Yes. But Jesus went to the sinners. He went. He found them. He went to be with them. And I can guarantee you, Jesus didn't walk in as he's stepping in and say, I ain't coming in there until you're done smoking. I ain't stepping in there until you put that alcohol away. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't speak truth. Of course he did. But he met people where they were. And when they trusted him, what he said mattered. We have to remember that in those same spaces, friends. I remember I have a story. A young lady was homeless, and she's been here several times. She was living in a tent in Tent City when I met her. In and out of jail a few times, incarceration, of course, and addiction. And we took her under our wing. We got her an apartment, got everything we needed to furnish the apartment. We even got her cable, right? We're like, this is great, look at us, woo! Filled her cupboards with food, got her a recliner. We were so proud. Jesus, look what we did. 2 weeks, she lasted. We came to her apartment one day, and we realized she hadn't been there. She wasn't there. So I called her up. I said, Jen, where are you? She said, I'm with my people. I'm with my community. That's not the word she used, but that's what she meant. And I remember going home, and this isn't a proud moment for me, but I was mad. I was so angry. Did she not know the time and effort that we put into getting her out of that space and into something we thought she needed? The money, the pride of getting her in there, if I'm honest, right? And Jesus said, Julia, when you tell people that you're going to meet them where they are, that doesn't mean on your terms. You really want to meet her where she is? Grab yourself. It was one of those little kindergarten carpets that we used to have at the house. And he said, you take one of those and you go sit in her tent with her. And I did. I remember picking up that carpet and going to, I'm like, Jen, I'm bringing it. She loves bacon cheeseburgers, still does. And I remember her coming, and I said to her, I said, I'm going to bring you a bacon cheeseburger. If you think that was easy to walk through that homeless community by myself, the things I saw, the smells, the sounds, the language, very uncomfortable. Jenna's still homeless, and she still lets me love her. I am grateful for that. I'm grateful that she allows me to step into her space, that she trusts me with that. You know, when we got her apartment, we didn't even ask Jen what she wanted. We assumed we knew what she needed. Who would want to be homeless? Let us fix you. The love of Jesus through us is not about fixing. It's about being present and allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work. Jen has taught me so much over the years about meeting people where they are. No strings attached, right? Where others saw a threat, in the story of the man with leprosy, Jesus saw a person. I remember Dwayne being down in Tent City, maybe a year ago, and he saw something in one of the porta potties and knew something wasn't right. And he ran to the porta potty and he pulled a man out and Narcan'd him. He was overdosing. Now, I'm not saying that's what all of you have to do. But if we allow fear of the uncomfortable to keep us shackled in our safety, in our comfort zones, you miss out on the opportunity to watch what the power and transformative love of Jesus Christ does. And so maybe you're sitting here in a space where you're like, I want to do this, but I can't do the things you're doing. There are things that you can do. Dwayne used a good analogy this morning about putting your toe in the ocean. And as you slowly become comfortable, you go deeper and deeper, right? At 180 Ministries, our ladies that live there, they meet with women who simply do devotions with them. We have a lady who's doing it. She came to me a few weeks ago, and she said, I thought my service in the church was over. I'm up in my ages. I can't do the things that I was doing. And this space has reminded me that I still have purpose. And so I encourage you, those that are older, that have been in the church, we need you. We need your wisdom and your knowledge. We need your stories. So if there's anybody here that would be willing to meet with some of these women and do some, simple devotion, some Bible studies, please come see me. There is an absolute need for that. The last story that I want to share, compassion that restores the brokenhearted. How many of you ever had a broken heart? So if there's nothing else we have in common, it's that, right? I hear that a lot of time. What can I do? I don't have a story like you have. You don't have to have a story like me. You don't have to have a story like Dwayne. You're like, I didn't have any miracles in my life. Are you kidding? You are a miracle. Jesus on the cross is your miracle. Thank God if you don't have a story like I have. We need your stories. We need your knowledge and your wisdom. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you and keep fear from having you feel like you're not equipped to do what we do. You are. We all share pain. We've all been disappointed. We've all been sad and angry. It's all maybe different paths to that stuff, but we all feel the same things. That's the common ground. And God, Jesus, he's the answer to that. And you carry that. You carry that answer. The next reading is coming from Luke 7:11 through 15. All right. Jesus raises a widow's son. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and he began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Again, another beautiful display where Jesus felt first. And then that love moved him, that compassion moved him into doing something. Jesus initiated compassion. She didn't ask. Jesus saw a need and he met it. How many times do we see a need and just bypass it? Oh, I can just, they didn't see me. I see him suffering, but they didn't see me, so I'm busy. I'm guilty. I've done it. He touched the frame the body was on, and her son was raised to life. He restored what was lost. I think that's the beauty of our story in all of us. He touches our lives and he restores what is lost. And we have the power to do that for others through the power of the Holy Spirit. What does this mean for us? Compassion sees. Are we paying attention to the needs that are around us? Compassion feels. Are we allowing our hearts to be stirred, or are we shutting it off when we start to feel? Compassion moves. Are we acting on what we see? In 1 John 3:18, it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." This week, I challenge you. Don't just feel something. Do something. Step in. Speak up, even if it's just a low. Show up. Share what you have, or sit with someone who is hurting. Let the compassion of Jesus flow through you so that the person that's in front of you can feel and encounter the love of Jesus the way you have. Jesus was not just compassionate, he is compassion. And when he lives in us, compassion becomes our calling. Ask God to give us eyes to see, hearts to feel, and the courage to act. Invite the Holy Spirit to help us live and love like Jesus, deeply, sacrificially, and practically. I'd like to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit that is here with us this morning. God, I thank you for Grantham Church. I thank you for this body, Lord, for the compassion that myself and my own family have received from this space, God. Lord, I pray today that you will begin to stir and continue to stir in the hearts of all of us to be intentional about seeking out those who are hurting, showing up for those who are alone, giving to those who are in need. And Father, in that, we get to experience the gift of you. And that's where our own hearts are transformed, God. And Lord, my prayer is that that will continue right here, that it'll start, continue, foster here, Lord, at Grantham Church with my brothers and sisters, and God, then just explode into the surrounding communities and our neighborhoods, where Grantham Church will be the church on a hill that is flooded with the compassion of Jesus. That people will be drawn to your love, your power, and your forgiveness, your mercy, your restoration, Lord. God, we thank you for 180 Ministries. We thank you for this month where we've been able to share what you are doing in and through that ministry. We thank you for the opportunity, God, to be here today, for the in-gathering offering, God, that it will bless so many. Lord, take each gift as a part of worship, Lord, and use it according to your will and your purpose. Multiply it, God, to reach those who are suffering and hurting. Thank you for our volunteers that show up again and again and again. God, I pray peace and love and comfort over those who live in the house and those who come to see us on a regular basis at 180 Ministries. We are standing in faith, Lord, that you've already made a way, that the building is ours. We're just waiting for it to unfold, God. And there's another building and another in your timing, God. So we thank you for that. Lord, everything that we do is to bring honor and glory to your name so that you may be magnified, so that others may be drawn to you and experience your love and your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.